Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Hebrews, chapter 3 today, and we return again to a sermon already in progress. Remember, the preacher is calling us to hear the voice of God and to pay attention. That means no drifters, which normally would make me think of Under the Bridge, classic drifters tune, but not this time. This time I'm focused. I will pay attention. Okay, kidding aside, in chapter 1, God spoke by his own son. What a thing to consider. In chapter 2, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. The preacher took us back to the Psalms to consider the grandeur of the heavens, the surprising role of mankind in God's plan, and the world which he set under man's feet. Yet we don't see the world run as God would have it, but we do see Jesus. When you see Jesus, it changes the way you see everything else. So that is where the preacher wants to keep our focus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. That is how you keep from drifting. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Focus, pay attention, anchor your mind. He is our apostle sent by the Father to reach us. He is our high priest, our one mediator with God. Now, if you've ever needed a mediator to help you settle things with someone, you know that the right person makes all the difference. It's got to be someone that you both trust. Someone you know will represent you both honestly and fairly. So consider Jesus. Verse 2. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. The preacher turns our attention to Moses, because for every Hebrew in the congregation, that's a name you can trust. Moses was faithful, and to this day he remains one of the great heroes for every Jew. And faithfulness is the first qualification for trust. It's what you want in a mediator. So Jesus was faithful like Moses, but the two are not the same. Verse 3. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. I love this simple analogy. And for any of the Hebrews listening who might have been tempted to set Jesus on the same level as Moses, it's critical. A house can be a phenomenal work of craftsmanship, but the real honor goes to the craftsman. And in nature, you can praise the wonder of creation or honor the faithfulness of a great man or woman. But worship is for the one who created them all. Don't miss the context here. The Son of God has spoken. Creator, craftsman of all things, including your very soul. Verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house. Verse 6. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. Do you get it? Do you see the difference? Moses was faithful, so listen to him. But all that he spoke bore witness to God's plan for the future, now fulfilled in Christ. Back in verse 6, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. The preacher's calling is to hold firmly to your hope in Christ. Let it anchor you. Now, in verse 7, the preacher returns again to the Psalms. The 95th Psalm will prove central to the whole sermon, as King David calls the people of God to praise God and to listen to his voice. David harkens back to the Exodus story, the time of testing in the wilderness. For every Hebrew, this story was part of their heritage. Generations of slavery and God's great rescue to bring his people out of bondage and into freedom. It's a powerful story, but the generation of adults that left Egypt never made it to freedom. All of them died on the journey, all but two. What happened? Sitting here in a gathering of first century Hebrews, they know very well what happened, and the preacher issues a stark warning. quoting Psalm 95. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. The words are stirring. If you hear His voice. The preacher knows that the Spirit has spoken. He knows that many have heard. This is the critical moment. What will they do with what they heard? Pause here and rewind a couple thousand years to the desert of Sinai, to the base of the great mountain. Exodus 20 tells the story. Moses instructed the people to consecrate themselves and gather at the base of Mount Sinai. Fire consumed the mountaintop, and the voice of God filled the skies. They all heard it. They knew His voice. It was the God who had rescued them, who delivered them with great signs and wonders, who guided them out of bondage, through the Red Sea, out into the desert for a time of testing. God's plan was 2 years of learning to trust God. He led them with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Every morning, manna appeared. And when thirst was great, water sprung forth. God was faithful. God spoke. God promised a land of freedom. And every lesson in the desert was about one thing, trust. Hear God's voice and believe His word. But they didn't. They wouldn't. They hardened their hearts. Notice in verse 9 that they tested God. It was supposed to be God's test for them, a time of trials with a purpose, so they would learn to trust God. But they reversed it, put God to the test, like a third grader giving the teacher a spelling test. But what were the Israelites testing? God had already shown them countless wonders. For 40 years they saw it. As a result, they never learned the lesson. They never learned to trust. What about you? Do you ever test God as if you've never seen His work? 1,000 years later, the Holy Spirit spoke Psalm 95 through David. Today, if you hear His voice. Another 1,000 years, and the same Spirit spoke the same words through the preacher to the Hebrews. 2,000 more years passed, and the Spirit speaks again to you and me. Today, if you hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts. The preacher continues through Psalm 95, quoting God in verse 10. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That's a powerful picture. After all that they went through, after all that God did to rescue them from slavery, they would never enjoy freedom. They would never enter God's rest. And notice God's diagnosis. Their hearts are always going astray. They hardened their hearts to God's word, and their hearts drifted. So the preacher gives us two directives to save us from doing the same. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Directive 1, check your heart. If you find sin and unbelief, deal with it before it turns you from God. Verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Directive 2, encourage each other. We all need it. If you've been waiting for just the right time to speak up, verse 13 has the ideal day for you. Every time it's called today is the right time to encourage. And notice, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin lies to you. It hardens your heart to God. We need that daily encouragement so we won't listen to those lies. Verse 14 calls us to hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. How do you hold your faith convictions for the long haul of life? Simple. You just have to hold on for one critical day. Today. Verse 15, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And to close the chapter, the preacher calls us three times to consider those poor souls who wasted their lives in the wilderness. Who were they? They heard God's voice, literally, and they rebelled. They heard Moses, but disobeyed, and God swore they would never enter his rest. Why? What was so severe that they could never find rest? Verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. That's the heart of the matter. Unbelief. They had no faith. Why is faith so crucial? We'll find out soon. For now, read Hebrews 3 and take it to heart so we don't wander. How do you waste 40 years wandering with no rest? Simple. All you have to do is harden your heart to God's voice for one crucial day. Just one. Today. As long as today is the day for unbelief and tomorrow is the day to get right with God, 40 years will pass you by in a heartbeat. Today, if you hear his voice.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.